chapter number 14. And if you are here this morning, you still have not received the notes, they should be in your bulletin. But if they're not, you can raise your hand and the ushers will get one right to you. And that way you can follow along. It's just a way to follow along with the message this morning. And we're going to continue our series on sowing and reaping. All right, sowing and reaping. We've been talking about this subject for the last few weeks now, and we've learned of what we need to sow in our lives and the important principle of understanding that what we sow, we shall reap. And that's a truth that that we will experience in our lives, and it's so important because of that to sow the right things in our lives. And so we've been learning about that over these past few weeks, and we want to continue with that, and especially this morning on this of sowing Christ in our life, more of Christ in our life. So John chapter number 14, and we'll read verses 1 through verse 6, all right? John 14 verses 1 through verse number 6. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful truth. How amazing it is to know, and how wonderful to know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. I pray that this morning as we study a little bit of your word, that you would speak to us by your Spirit. I pray that our hearts would be ready to receive your word. I ask that you would hide me behind thy cross, fill me with your Spirit, help me to communicate, Father, this message in a way that would be clear, but also in a way that would be an encouragement and a help to someone today. I pray that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts. May we be moldable. May we be ready to receive your word and then to apply it to our lives, that we might be doers of your word and not hearers only. We thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It is the primary concern of every Christian to sow more of Christ into their life. He is not only part of our existence, but Christ is our very existence. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. But Christ is all and in all." It is important for every Christian to understand this morning that Christ is our all. He is the very existence that we have. He is the purpose of our life. He is the number one priority of our life. And in John chapter 14, we find that these are some of the last few words that Jesus will share with his disciples. This is a time when Jesus knows he will be going to the cross shortly. And have you noticed that when we get to the end of our lives, we tend to really focus on what really matters. We tend to try to focus on what really is going to make a difference for the next generation. And we try to pass on what we've learned in the years that God has given us. And we try to communicate to others what we have learned in that time. And usually it's what we think that we value most, what we really believe is the most important thing. And so Jesus here is sharing with his disciples what he believes is the most important thing for them to remember as he's going to go to the cross, as he is going to give his life as a ransom for many. He wants the disciples to understand, listen, I'm going away, but I will return for you. He gives them that promise. He wants them to know that he is one that will think of them, one that will be there for them. God wants them to know that he is all and in all for them. Paul reminded those Christians in Colossae that Christ is in all and is all. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but perhaps you've observed that Our world is very much full of anger and wrath. Paul said, as Christians, we need to put off anger, wrath, and malice. But it just seems like our world is full of wrath and malice and filthy communication. And you see that of people lying to one another and cheating one another and robbing one another. Our world is filled with that. And it just seems like today that the world needs more and more of Christ, not less and less of Christ. And yet, as we try to give Christ to others, as we try to share his message, it just seems like it's getting a little bit more and more difficult, is it not? In fact, just yesterday I was reading on FoxNews.com. They had this story of a business owner in Tucson, Arizona, where he was just using his Facebook. They had a Facebook a page for his restaurant, and so he was using his Facebook platform there to just share a little bit of what he believed, and he had some political opinions of the president and things, and then he had some other opinions about various areas of life. But one of the things that he was strongly opinionated on was that of believing in God and trusting in God and how our nation needs to return to God. Well, the backlash was so bad from that post and from what he just placed there as what he was his beliefs, that now this week he said, and he gave a notice out to all of those there in Tucson, that he will be closing his restaurant. There was so much on the comments of his Facebook threatening him, threatening his family, threatening the employees of his business. And just to give a little bit of a platform, just to say a little bit of how he thinks that America should go back to God, seemed like all of this anger and wrath and malice surrounded him just for standing up and saying what he believed. And it just seems like we're in a world where that seems to be the reaction when you try to get God back into the picture. But yet, our responsibility as Christians is to keep pushing that message out. It's not to clamped up. It's not to close our doors, but it is to continue with that message. And Paul says, if you're going to do that, if you're going to put away wrath and malice and anger, and if you're going to live a different kind of life as a Christian, then you must understand that Christ has to be your all. We must sow more of Christ in our life today as Christians if we're going to do just that. I like what Robert Louis Stevenson said. He says, don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. And it's so important as Christians that we begin to sow in our lives more and more and more of Christ, that we might be more Christ-like in every area of our life. John Newton was a man that was a godly man, a man that wrote many hymns that we sing today. But I read a story about him that a few years before he died, he would have breakfast with a special friend. And this friend and would eat with him on a regular basis. And it was their custom that as they ate breakfast right after finishing, that they would read from the Bible and pray together. And since Newton was already getting older in his age, he couldn't quite read. His eyes were growing dimmer, and he really couldn't read the words on the pages, so he would ask his friend to read. Well, on this particular occasion, his friend read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And when the words, by the grace of God, I am what I am, were read, Newton was silent for several minutes. Then he said, I am not what I ought to be. How imperfect and deficient I am. He said, I am not what I wish to be, although I abhor that which is evil and would cleave to that which is good. He said, I am not what I hope to be, but soon I shall put off mortality and with it all sin. He said, though I am not what I ought to be, nor what I wish to be, nor yet what I hope to be, I can truly say I am not what I once was, a slave to sin and Satan. I can heartily join with the apostle and acknowledge that by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, in much the same way this morning, we must acknowledge the fact that we need more of Christ in our lives, that we can be what Christ has made us to be, that by the grace of God, we are who we are. Paul acknowledged that in his life. John Newton, at the end of his life, understood that truth, and it hit him deeply. But let me ask you this morning, what does that look like? How do we sow more of Christ in our life? How exactly is this worked out in our lives. We understand that Christ is all and in all. We understand that He must be more and more in our lives, that we might be more and more Christ-like, that the grace of God may teach us more and more, that we might become more like Christ in our life. But how do we do that exactly? Well, I believe in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, the key verse here in this passage, I believe we can find three areas in how we are to sow Christ in our life. How exactly we are to sow Christ in our life. I want you to notice that he says in verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want you to notice, first of all, in your notes, if we're going to sow Christ, we must sow Christ in our body. In our body. The word way there is the Greek word hadas, which literally means the road to travel. Now, it is clearly here in this passage, the road that he is talking about is the road to heaven, the road to salvation. Jesus was telling them, I am going to go to heaven, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's talking about the way to the Father, the right relationship. The only way that we can come into a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way. And that's what he's talking about clearly in this context. But that word can also mean not just the way to get somewhere, but the road that we travel after we've made that first step. After we've come to Jesus Christ as a sinner, getting saved by grace, asking Him to forgive us of our sins and being our Savior, there is a road that we travel. We call that today the Christian walk, the Christian journey. We call that the Christian life. And after you've been saved as a Christian, there is a road that we are to walk, and that road is Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said, I am the way. There is a way that you are to live. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, you'll find, if you read there in Acts chapter 2 and verse Acts chapter 9 and verse number 2, that when he was first named Saul and he was a persecutor of the church, as he was looking for those that had put their faith in Jesus Christ, those that we would call today Christians, they weren't called Christians at that time. In fact, he said, and the scriptures record there, that they were known as people of the way. The way, just the way that they live, the way that they believe, the way that they conducted themselves, they already knew. They're people of the way. What way? The way of Jesus Christ. To sow more of Christ in our lives, we must sow in this area of our body. That is the external, the way that we carry and conduct ourselves. You see, when we do this, when we sow to Christ, when we know and acknowledge Him as the way, number one, what we find is that He gives direction. It gives direction. We must give more and more control of what we do to Christ as we move forward in this Christian life. Sowing more of Christ in our body means giving God the direction, following God's direction in our life. You see, there is a direction that our life must go if we're going to follow Christ. If we're going to sow more of Christ in our life, we have a direction that we are following. I like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. He said, only let your conversation, that is your lifestyle, the way that you are going, he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. He said that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see, Paul had a direction that he was going in life. He had sowed that truth into his life, that he wanted more of Christ in him. Why? So he could stand. And he was encouraging those that were Christians in the city of Philippi. I want you to understand, you also need to stand. We are of that way. Your lifestyle, your conversation, that's your lifestyle, the road that you're on, ought to be of one to stand, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What does it mean to give and to sow Christ in my body? It means to follow His direction. That's what it means. It means we're not only just to have understanding of Him in our mind, but that ought to lead us to action, to move, to follow what God has commanded us to do. We find that sowing Christ in our life produces the result of following God's direction. But notice also, it also means of giving service to Him. If you're going to follow the way, if you're going to follow Christ's life and example, if you're going to have more of Christ in your life, then not only do you have to follow His direction, but follow by giving service to Him. I like what someone said. They said, the measure of a man's greatness is not the number of servants he has, but the number of people he serves. It's so important to understand as we sow more of Christ into our lives that we are to serve Him more and more each and every day. In fact, Jesus says, "How shall ye know that you are my disciples if you do what I say?" I like what John 8:31 says. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples." John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Here's what Christ is saying. He's saying, if you're going to plant more of me in you, if we're going to be more Christ-like, then it's going to lead you to serve as well. Not only follow what God has commanded, but also to go and do what Christ has commanded. We see, when you sow Christ in your body, that is the external and what you do, the physical life that you have, then you find that you will follow God and where He leads you, where He calls you to go. Let me just encourage you, some of young people and some of you college students, this is a place in your time in your life where you need to be very attentive to where God is calling you. You need to have more of Christ sown in your life that you can follow where God is leading you and that you may use your life to serve Him more. That's what a life that is sowing Christ is looking like. That's what results from sowing more of Christ in your life. That's a person that is following God's direction. It's a person that is giving and serving God with his life. It's the Sunday school teacher that shows up on Sunday ready to teach. It's the usher who goes and seats someone down in their seat so that they can hear the word of God. It's the friend who is willing to forgive the other friend that has offended them. You see, when you sow Christ, it shows, it reveals itself in the direction that you go with your life. It reveals itself in what you do with your life and who you serve. That's why it's so important this morning for us to sow more of Christ in our body. So important, sometimes we look at church like, well, if I miss, it's not that big of a deal, but it is. It is a big deal. You know, why is it such a big deal? Because listen, it's there that I'm going to sow more of Christ in my life. It's where I'm going to hear where the direction of God is for my life. It's where I get to come and serve God with my life. I mean, church is such an important thing. We find if you're going to be one that is sowing Christ in your life, in your body, you're going to have to follow His direction. You're going to have to serve Him with your life. But secondly, I want you to notice that He says, not only is He the way, but He says, "I am the truth." We have to not only sow Christ in our body, but sowing Christ in our spirit. The second area where we must sow Christ and more of Christ in our lives is in our spirit. You see, the spiritual life of a Christian can oftentimes become neglected and non-existent as he plants less and less of Christ. If you're not careful, you can begin to get away from the truth. That is, get away from Christ. You see, truth is that part of us that helps us to be fortified and strengthened. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, "Girt your loins with truth." Truth is what protects you, what gives you the strength to move forward. You see, this is a spiritual truth. While that first sowing of Christ in your body, that's an external truth. That is a result of something. That's a result of you planting more of your service and your direction of life in Christ. But also this spiritual, this of sowing Christ in your spirit is a spiritual truth. This of Christ being the truth is a spiritual truth. That's why Jesus said, "If ye hear me and ye believe, you'll know that what I am saying are the words of truth." He said, because what I'm giving you is something that is spiritual, something that you're going to need to fortify you, to strengthen you. See, the truth is what sets a person free. Jesus told those that followed Him, you might have a master and you might have a slave, but you know, freedom is not found in your master dying or you running away from him. Freedom is found in me. It's found in the truth. "Ye shall know the truth," Jesus said, "and the truth shall set you free." Free. You see, when you understand this spiritual truth, when you begin to sow that truth in your life of understanding Jesus is the truth, you know what happens? It begins to bring purpose to your life. It brings purpose to your life. You see, as we sow more of Christ in our lives, we are reminded of our purpose for our lives. Too many times we can lose our purpose to that which is temporary in this world. We get caught up into the world's purposes, whether that be politics, whether that be business, whether that be finances, whether it be any other temporary thing, but we lose ourselves. And we lose our purpose because we get on that. That's why I love the words of Paul when he said in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul understood this truth. He said, listen, my whole existence revolves around this one fact, that Jesus Christ is truth. That spiritual truth gives me the purpose of my life. It gives me a reason to wake up every morning. It gives me a reason of why I follow this direction and why I do what I do, because I have a high calling, a high purpose. And Paul was so sure of that truth that it brought him that purpose of life. If you're a Christian here this morning, let me just encourage you that your purpose of life be that Jesus is the truth. You know, if you believe that spiritual truth, if you say Jesus is the truth, you know what it will make you do? It'll make you share the gospel with someone at work tomorrow. You see, that spiritual truth will lead you, student, to encourage somebody else in your class with the message of Jesus Christ, with the truth of the gospel, with the truth of God that says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, of that God that says, I have come that ye may have life and life more abundantly, of the God that brings peace in the midst of storms. That one truth, that Jesus is the truth. It's a spiritual truth this morning, but it's a spiritual truth that will bring purpose as you sow that in your life. But notice also, not only does it bring you purpose in this life, but it'll also bring you power in this life. You see, the Bible says that the truth will set you free. As you and I sow more of Christ into our lives, we begin to experience more and more of His power in our life. The person who is consistent in their spiritual life will have much power from which to live. Let me just say, our world has been changed for the better, not by men of small spiritual fortitude, by those whom the Spirit of God would descend upon and control and use in a mighty, mighty way. People that had very little education sometimes. Most have heard of the story of D.L. Moody, a man that had less than a third grade education. He was not a very good speaker. But God got a hold of his heart. He heard a message when someone said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man wholly dedicated unto Him. And D.L. Moody said, by God's grace, I will be that man. You know, in his lifetime, he reached more than 1 million people. He shook the continent of North America and the continent of Europe for God. It wasn't because of his education, and it wasn't because of his finances, and it wasn't because he was a genius in his mind. It was simply because he had the power of God resting upon him. Because he sowed in his life this truth, that Jesus is the truth. That brought purpose to his life, that took him to have power in his life, to see God do some great things. You see, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. That means ye shall know Him. He is the truth. When you know Jesus, you shall be set free. And it's one of the greatest spiritual truths you can find in the Bible. If you're going to sow more of Christ in your life, you must sow this truth, this spiritual truth, that Jesus is the truth. And then I want you to notice, thirdly and lastly this morning, that if we are going to sow more of Christ in our life, that we must sow Him in our soul. You see, lastly, Jesus said, not only am I the way, that's something that's external, the outward. Not only am I the truth, that's something that is your relationship between you and God. But he says, and I am the life. This is sowing Christ in our soul. You see, Christ is life itself. We find that much of our world claims to give life. Have you not found this to be true? They say if you just give yourself to pleasure, then you'll really be living. They say if you just give yourself to riches, then you'll really find what life is all about. You'll know how to live life. Some say if you just give yourself to work, then you'll find what life is all about. But the Bible says Christ is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, this speaks to our need of sowing more of Him in our souls, that which gives us life. You see, it is our soul that makes us eternal. It is our soul that makes us who we are. The Bible says that this external, this body, it's dying every day. I've been noticing it more and more in my life, and I'm only 33. There comes a point into your life where you find that, man, it starts aching a little bit, and it starts to be weaker and weaker than what it used to be. This body is going to, it's going to dissolve, it's going to burn one day, it's going to change. But there is something that will not change, and that's who you are. That soul is something that is eternal. That is something that God gave us because He is life. That which is life to us, our soul, needs to be planted with more of Christ in it. You say when you plant more of Christ into your soul, here's what you'll find. Number one, that He is the giver of life. He is the giver of life. You see, the greatest truth in all the world is to know that Jesus is the life. He promises all that will come to Him that He will give them life. He is the everlasting God, the creator of all things. In fact, if you look in Colossians chapter number 1, if you want to turn there, Colossians chapter number 1, and read what Paul writes about Christ. He says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." You see, Jesus is the giver of life. He's not only the giver of life that you and me have and what we see right now, the external, but He is the giver of life of the soul. He gives everlasting life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life." You see, Jesus is life. Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." John 10:10 says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus is life to the soul. You might be here this morning. You might be just visiting the church for the first time. You might just be going through a difficult time. Let me just say, if life's not where you think it ought to be, you should come to the giver of life. Jesus can give you a life that the world could never give you because He is the creator of life. He is the one that can give you everlasting life. And by the way, you'll notice that it says not only that He is a life, it doesn't say Jesus said, "I am a way and a truth and a life," but He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There is no life outside of Jesus Christ this morning. There is no other source of life that you can go to other than Jesus Christ. Let me just say, if you're here this morning and you've not experienced that life, I want to encourage you today. Make the decision to make Jesus the life giver for you. But I want you to notice not only when you sow in Christ in your soul that you'll find that He is the giver of life, but you'll find that He is the life sustainer. As the author of life, He is also the sustainer of life. You see, the more that you sow of Christ in your soul, He gives you what you need to sustain yourself, to continue, to confront the hardships and the heartbreaks of life, and yet just to continue moving forward. That's what the giver of life can do. He can sustain your life. You see, when life doesn't go your way, when the bad news arrives, when that of which you are wrestling with comes into your life, you'll find that He will sustain you. It came to a point in the Apostle Paul's life after he had lived much of his life to give all that he could for God and to further the message of the gospel to all these different cities and all these different people. We find that he writes to these Christians in Corinth, and he says, "I had a pain in my side. I had a thorn in my flesh, something that I wanted to go away. Life just didn't seem like it was good with this thorn in my flesh." And he learned this truth. He said, and Jesus said, or God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." A person who begins to sow Christ into their soul begins to find that He is the sustainer of life. That His grace truly is sufficient. that he gives you life-giving power and life-sustaining power from on high. I want to encourage you this morning to look for that power, to sow Christ in your soul that he may sustain you through whatever it is that you're going through. I'm telling you this morning, what our world needs isn't a new government, and it's not more riches, and it's not a different system. What our world needs more is Christians that will sow more of Christ into their body, into their spirit, into their soul. The more you can sow Christ in you, the more Christ-like that you will be, the more power you will have, the greater purpose that you will live for. I mean, it all depends on this truth of understanding. Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life. Charles Francis Adams was son of President John Quincy Adams and the grandson of President John Adams, and he used to keep a diary, and one day in his diary he wrote, "Went fishing with my son today," and then he said, "Dash, a day wasted." But his son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, and on that same day he made this little note. He said, "Went fishing with my father. The most wonderful day of my life." You see, the father thought he was wasting time while fishing with his son, but his son saw that it was really an investment in his life. You see, the only way to tell the difference between wasting and investing is to know one's ultimate purpose in life and to judge accordingly. I say that to say this. The Bible says, "What you sow, ye shall reap." You can either waste your life and not sow anything, and you'll reap the consequences of that. Or you can invest your life by putting more of Christ in you and reap what God wants to do in and through and with you. The decision this morning is yours. But I encourage you, may we sow more of Christ in our body, in our spirit, and in our soul. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and care, and thank you for this wonderful truth of sowing more of you into our life. Oh, Father, how different our home might be if we simply had more of you in us. How different our city might be and our world would be if we could just grasp this truth and begin to apply it into our lives. Our church needs more Christians that are sowing you into their life. And we'd never lack a Sunday school teacher if we did that. We'd never lack someone to serve here in this local church if we all began to sow more of you into our life. I pray that this morning, if there be areas in our life that we have not sown, that we have not begun to give more to you of, then I pray that this morning the decision would be made. I need more of Christ in me. We may say as that little chorus, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord," standing in that need of prayer. We're the ones that need more of you this morning. Providence doesn't lie with the world and its philosophy. It lies more that we're not giving the solution that they need. We're not going to the one that gives power. We're not going to the one that gives life. We're not living the way of the way. I pray that you would help us this morning to do just that. To sow Christ in our lives. More and more of you. May you work in us. Thank you, Father, because you're so kind and so good. Pray that you would answer our prayers this morning. May you be more sown in our lives that we may reap more of your blessings. May we live for you. May we long for you. May we love you more. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.